Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Good morning, or I guess, depending on where you guys are at, maybe afternoon or evening. Today, we got a special space coming up with our friends over at Pixels Online. So, actually, it looks like we got Pixels already here. So, let's we can get them on. Hey, hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, Heidi?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Just I'm over on the West Coast. I think you guys are as well. So Still just kind of getting my morning started here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting being on the West Coast because I feel like we're the last to do anything.
I know. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but the rest of my team is in Norway and Australia. So I'm always in meetings either at the very start of my day or the very end of my day. It's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people in North America, but we do have a handful in Europe and Eastern Europe. So I'm a 12-hour time change from one of our artists.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There. And then Luke, I see you there as well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Good. It's good to see another Luke here in this space. A double Luke Twitter space today.
Feels good. It feels good.
It's been confusing.
Oh no. Yeah, all the graphics you have to, you know, kind of double up on. Make sure you put the right title with the right name. And but Luke, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, doing great. Got an early start to my day. I was at Art Basel last week, so I'm kind of on East Coast time, even though I'm out in California right now. So excited to be here, excited to chat.
And what event is that you said you're at?
Oh, Art Basel. Yeah, we're meeting with a few potential investors for a current round of stuff. So it's pretty fun. I'm just like also kind of burnt out on the Web3 crypto travel conference grind. So
Oh my goodness.
Just gotta be there sometimes. That's the game we're playing.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, we went over to NFT NYC, whatever that was, about 6-7 months ago now, and that was a lot of fun, but I can't imagine being a game and traveling to those. You know, it seems like there's one popping up pretty much every month now, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny how the crypto space is like semi-anonymous a lot of the times, but then the biggest value that you get out of it is when you meet up in person with people.
Right. A little ironic, yeah. We want to have our privacy and our being hidden, but then it's awesome as well, I think, getting to meet up with everyone in person. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. It's awesome to have you here. And listeners, as you're coming in, thanks for being here as well. We're going to get started talking about Pixels. And if you guys have questions, you can definitely raise your hand or, you know, throw in some questions as we go on. But I'd love to first hear just from you, Heidi and Luke. Maybe there are some people here kind of straggling in that maybe haven't checked out Pixels Online yet. So can you just give a short description of what your game is?
Yeah, totally. The best way to describe it is we kind of built Stardew Valley as an MMO or Farmville as an MMO. The goal is we're trying to create a really casual, easygoing Web3 game, and we're focusing on the game before anything else. We think the quality of Web3 games in the space right now is not so high, and it's really off-putting to a lot of people who, you know, actually could potentially be onboarded into Web3 and into crypto. But you know, we just don't see that many good experiences for people in the space. People have been saying so long, oh, we need to create, you know, better Web3 experiences for people to actually be onboarded into the space. And you know, we've been in the space for a while now. We just haven't seen that many good experiences being formed. So for our approach, you know, we're taking the experience first approach to building. We're taking a game first approach to building. We want to make sure that the game is fun. The game is able to stand alone without any Web3 incentives. And then we're adding in the Web3 incentivization afterwards too. So we have a live game out right now. We have a good amount of people playing it too. We're actually one of the most played Web3 games in the space right now, which is really, really cool. And a really exciting opportunity to be sitting on. But then, yeah, we have a lot more coming as well too. So the game that we have out now is, you know, it's still like a alpha beta stage. We're adding more content every week or two. And then we have more and more coming over the next, you know, couple weeks too. So we just introduced in-game trading. We're about to, you know, facilitate our first airdrop of the Berry token. And then we have, you know, withdrawal deposits. So the full blockchain backing coming out really soon as well.
Awesome. I love to hear it. And I love how you started off by saying Stardew Valley MMO, because I jumped onto the game last week and I definitely want to try out more, but that was almost my first thought. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I can see this as, you know, a little bit of my Stardew Valley days and the whole experience I had there. So that's pretty awesome. And I think most people would have that same similar experience and feeling about the game. Heidi, I want to ask you just kind of what's, as you've led some of the community here for Pixels, what's the community's response been to the game so far? How are people interacting with it? You know, how, what are they thinking of? What are those maybe features they're requesting the most? How are things so far with it?
That's a good question. I don't even know how to answer, honestly. Web3 moves at the speed of light. And if you know anything about game development, it does not. And so it's kind of a mixture. We get overwhelming positive feedback from a lot of people. You know, we are a gaming studio first and an NFT collection, I don't know, second, third, fourth. So it really depends on the kind of user that's coming forward and playing our game and interacting with our community of the response we get. I obviously lean into the culture that is welcoming, friendly. Farmer friendly is a term we've coined. And it's wonderful. People love the game. Incredible response to our recent chapter one release. And we're doing, we call them pages. So page one, page two, we just launched, I think it was page two. Incredible feedback. Wonderful. Everyone's so excited and it's amazing. And then of course, you know, we do get the negative feedback as well. But something that's really interesting, and I think is quite unique to our team and the Web3 space, is that we are able to move really quickly and pivot quickly. So if we release something that isn't quite balanced correctly, or maybe doesn't land well, we're able to respond quickly and be like, hey, we're building in public, we're building with you, and we're listening, and we respond accordingly. So it's really, it's kind of, it's a mixed basket of different responses, but generally speaking, our community is, it's almost powerful in how welcoming and kind and helpful and friendly it is, especially in Web3.
So I just want to note too, Heidi just said, I don't know if we've ever blatantly said that before, but I really like that what you just said, that we're, you know, a game studio first and an NFT collection like second or third. Yeah, that is kind of our ethos. We want to make a game that's really fun, and that's our highest priority, because we think that that's where, you know, value is actually created in the ecosystem. And that's why we think some of the NFT projects or Web3 gaming projects we've seen in the space have been unsustainable, because they focus on the other side of things first. So yeah, that was really well put, Heidi.
Oh, well, I'm glad I've said that a few times. So
there you go. Now you just need to, you know, put that on your Twitter post and pin it. Yeah, I want to hear a little bit about the inspiration for Pixels Online. Are you guys fans, the creators, the founders, Luke, just fans of Pixel games? Or how did you come up with the concept of the game?
What yeah, led you it's to funny. It? I didn't think I was a gamer for a while, because I don't like FPSs. Like, I don't like Call of Duty. I don't like MOBAs. I hate League of Legends and games like that. They just don't really do it for me. But for some reason, my favorite types of games are really story-driven and, funny enough, like walking simulators. I love games where I can just explore, chill out, hang out. And that's like my kind of preferred gaming style. And I also grew up playing RuneScape. That was a huge part of my childhood, as with many people in our generation.
Same here.
Yeah, it's actually crazy.
Right.
How much of our generation grew up playing that same game and had the same experience, and then now we're in Web3. I think RuneScape prepped us pretty well for like Web3 concepts with trading, with economy. All of that. But yeah, that's just where my personal preferences lie. I really like the pixel art style too. Don't know why, but I've just always been really drawn to that. Or I really like low poly 3D games too. Never been as much of a fan of like the hyper realistic stuff. I just like atmosphere. I like, you know, general, I hate saying this word, but vibes in a game. Something that makes me feel like a bit, you know, escapist. So yeah, a lot of this is just push from my own personal preferences. That's kind of the fun part of being able to get to build something like this too.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you guys are doing a great job and have a community that's really engaged, and I love seeing that. And Heidi, I don't know if it was you, but one of my favorite Twitter posts I've seen in this Web3 space is that you guys were doing that real life tractor giveaway. And I just love the tweet. That was, it was something like, why is no one trying to fake that they won this giveaway? Oh, as you guys announced it. It's like, this is just pure gold.
So the idea for the tractor giveaway was Luke. But yes, that subtweet was mine. And just for those listening, I think it's worth talking about. This space is filled with people trying to scam you. And every time we post a giveaway, our DMs, we get at least 2, 3, 4 sometimes people creating fake accounts to try and get, you know, win the prize or whatever it is. I did not get a single DM trying to win the tractor. And honestly, why? Like, I want to know why.
Yeah. It's so good. I mean, it's a genius idea because, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like you can just, you know, that many people just want a tractor shipped to them or want to give their address. And
I don't know. Right? A lot of people did. Well,
that's crazy. I love it.
But the tractor's been delivered. If you scroll one of our recent posts, I think December 1st, he tweeted about it. He has it.
That's awesome. Tractor
delivered.
That's our kind of thesis in this space too. Like, you have to have fun with it. Like, this space is exhausting to be building in. It requires a lot of stamina and energy. If you're not having some kind of fun while you're doing this, like, you're gonna burn out. So yeah, we noticed, like, the more that we have fun too, the better that everything kind of goes. Like, the more that we're enjoying it, the more that we're actually, you know, doing some things that make us happy and, like, give us a laugh, like, the happier our community is, like, the more productive we're working, like, the more that we stand out too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't see anyone else giving away a tractor. So the fact that we are in the entertainment industry, you would think that we would all be having a little bit more fun with it. So I definitely love that concept. And I would just like to hear from you guys. You kind of already mentioned it a little bit, but Heidi and I were talking earlier on Discord and just talking about how you guys are kind of trying to move away, get the industry away from this idea of play to earn. And I just love to hear your thoughts there. You know, this whole concept of play to earn, how do you guys think this narrative has maybe hurt the industry or maybe shaped it in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I mean, play to earn is generally dead right now anyways. I think most games realize how unsustainable it is. The reason it's so unsustainable is, like, the general concept probably could work if you had a set of users who really cared about the game and liked the game. Like, how we see the general Web3 gaming space is it's like a mode of different value distribution. So there's always value being created in the ecosystem if you create, you know, a really fun game. Like, people attach real world money to game items. That's something that is established in the space already. It's, like, very obvious. You know, games make money because people want to progress through these games because they value that entertainment that the game is getting them with a certain dollar amount. But, you know, the issue where play to earn comes in is, you know, people come in with the wrong expectations where these people actually maybe aren't getting value from the game itself. You know, they don't like the game. They don't want to progress through the game. They're really just there to extract value from the ecosystem. And that's where it becomes unsustainable. So part of the play to earn side of things, or, like, the Web3 gaming side of things that, you know, you need to do is you need to make a ecosystem where people are actually getting value from the game. Like, it needs to be able to stand alone without any Web3 aspects. And then once you have that, once you have a system that actually creates value, then you can actually kind of figure out more interesting ways to distribute the value. And that's where some of the play-to-earn side of things have also kind of gotten it wrong, in my opinion, where, you know, you need to distribute value in this Web3 gaming ecosystem in a way that actually benefits everybody. And, you know, the people who are just coming in to dump a token, they're not benefiting the ecosystem in general. And that's how a lot of these Web3 gaming economies were set up at first, too. Like, grind through this game and then sell the token, all of that. If you create an ecosystem where you're actually distributing value to people in healthy manners, and for us, what we think is actually, like, around customer acquisition and retention, because that's where games already typically spend money on. Games, how the gaming industry works right now is they'll typically spend, like, $1 million in product development, $10 million a month on advertising. It's actually so incredibly crazy, where most of the value created in the ecosystem is sent directly to advertisers like Facebook, Apple, Google, rather than, you know, somewhere where it could be more productive. So Web3 offers an opportunity where, you know, this value that you're recreating, you've created an ecosystem, you can actually distribute it in ways that help this ecosystem better than just sending it directly to Apple or Facebook or Google. You can actually send it to users who are helping you grow, who are helping you bring in new users, who are, you know, staying around in the game. So that's how we see it. But yeah, it all starts with making a game that's fun. And if you don't have that, then, you know, I would question everything that you're doing.
Yeah, I love those concepts that you're throwing out there. And I think, you know, as I've talked to a lot of games and done these spaces or interviews, it seems like a lot of people are coming to that same conclusion that you're saying there, Luke, of, yeah, play to earn isn't that sustainable. We want to move away from calling it that. But then when you dig into their game, you know, like, we don't want to be play to earn, but yet you still are doing this two token system with a governance token, inflationary token, you're selling NFTs and having them breed. And so it's kind of funny where it's like, we want to move away from that. But at the same time, I look at their game and it's like, oh, it's just like Axie and the same model as Axie. So I want to hear, what are you guys actually doing that's different? And Haiti, you mentioned to me that you guys did a little play to airdrop event, I think is what you called it, and play to mint. How did those things look like, and how is it maybe different than play to earn?
Yeah, go ahead,
Abby. Yeah, okay. Those were really interesting. I will let Luke speak to them more because they were his genius idea. But I will say that it was quite interesting because obviously it was a way to promote to the Web3 community. But the entire time we had to say, hey, if you're here to pump and dump, you're not in the right place. So it was like a very interesting balance of it all, but I'll let Luke speak a bit about like how and why we did that.
Yeah, totally. So one, we wanted to kind of prove with this play to airdrop and play to mint, like, okay, we had these hypotheses around customer acquisition in the Web3 gaming space. Like, okay, we think we can actually use token incentives to grow a project directly without spending any money on advertising. And we did prove that out. Pixels year to date has spent maybe $3,000 to $5,000 in marketing, which is actually insane in this space. Most people don't know how much of, you know, these NFT collections mints they've put into paid advertising. It's typically like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, like 30% of their mints have gone directly to advertising in order to, like, you know, artificially pump the floor price or whatever they want to do. We've decided to not do that. We decided to do all of our growth in-house. And, you know, again, we see Web3 as a really interesting arbitrage for customer acquisition and for, you know, making a name in the space. And this is why we think that Web3 is so exciting. We think it could turn a studio like us, you know, a really small indie studio in the grand scheme of things. Like, I don't think people realize, you know, just, you know, what our team size is compared to other projects in this space. But we think that Web3 offers us an opportunity to completely disrupt the casual game industry and grow insanely large through there. Like, we want to compete with Web3 projects at the end of the day. We want to compete with Zynga. We want to compete with, like, the large casual game studios using Web3 as an advantage. So with this play to airdrop also, we kind of hold this feeling that who owns a token is equally as important as what the token does. So community is so important to these projects, especially in the early stage. And finding a community of people who actually believe in what you're doing and who actually like what you're doing is extremely important. The Web3 gaming space is interesting because I don't want to call them low quality users, but we think it attracts a lot of people who maybe not like interested in the project in the long term, or who maybe don't have the project's best interest in mind. What they want to do is they want to come into an ecosystem, they want to come into a project, and they want to extract value from it and flip it in the very short term. And it's interesting too, because a lot of these people call themselves investors sometimes, but really what they're doing is they're coming into a project and flipping it within like a month or two's span. And it's funny because we have actual venture capital investors and their thought process is very different. Their thought process is, okay, we're investing like a 4 to 7 year horizon. You know, they think that 95% of their projects that they invest in are going to fail. And they understand creating value in an ecosystem is much longer. That incentives aligned a bit better. But, you know, what we could do with some of these Web3 incentivization models and with our community building is we can find people who are actually interested in what we're doing on the long-term horizon. And our goal is to build community who is here with us for the long-term as well. When that aligned incentive is there, then you have something really, really powerful. If you have people that are just interested in, you know, trading the project really quickly, that's where things tend to fall apart. So, you know, community design is super important and actually really tricky to get right. But we try to also design our community kind of filtering for people who want to be here for the long term rather than the quick flip, because we know that's going to make us in a much better position for all of us too. Not just us, not just our VC investors, but it'll also put them in a better position if we build a community that's here for the long run. That way we have less people speculating and more people creating actual value.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's one of the things I've even shifted my mind frame in. And I think everyone that's learned about Play to Earn last year was coming in from a crypto perspective and looking at, as you just said, you know, how much can I earn? How much can I flip? And now I've shifted my own thinking more to, okay, let's think about this as Kickstarter for games. And really what I'm doing is if I'm buying tokens or an NFT of a project, I'm doing that as a, hey, I want to support this project. I want to see this game being developed and built because I really enjoy the team or I really enjoy the concept of the game. and I'm not here to flip or cash out. And it sounds like you're trying to find those people who are there to support you guys long term for the development of the game.
Yeah, totally. And there are plenty of people in the space that do like see the space in a very optimistic way on a longer term horizon to understand, you know, what needs to change in the space to actually make it viable. But then there are plenty of people who, you know, are just in it for the quick flip too. So, you know, we're trying to filter as best as possible for that. And I think we've built a really solid base of our community with those. But also, you know, anytime you build something Web3, you're going to top a funnel at least attract people who are not in it for the right reasons. And that's something that, you know, we're battling every single day in our community. Okay, how do we, you know, make sure that we're really building for the people who are here for us in the long term, you know, not making decisions based on the people who, you know, are going to exit in 2 weeks anyways. So yeah, it's a funny thing that we have to like kind of deal with as we're building early in the stages of Web3, but it's also a fun challenge.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I think the bear market almost lends itself to that, whereas in the bull market, everyone's just jumping from project to project. They don't care what it is, whatever's going to make them that quick buck. I think the bear market, even though it feels bad, and I don't know if you felt this, Heidi, with, you know, social numbers being down on videos or Twitter posts or whatever, Discord interaction, it's almost like it's trimming off the fat because you're losing mostly the people who were not really there to care about the project in the first place.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So when I joined the company, it was the end of December last year, and that was actually my entry into this space. So I entered in chaos. You know, it was something I'd never experienced before. And then when the crash came, exactly what you said, engagement was down, mentality was down, people were upset, they were complaining, they were saying, you know, lots of not so kind things. It was hard, but in retrospect, it's been a bit of a blessing. Like you were talking about, it gave us space to build. It gave us, I mean, in the immediate time, right at the crash, we were actually completely redoing our engine. So it was nice to have a little bit of breathing room to focus on, you know, making a really quality product. And also we rely on VC funding, so it didn't really affect us monetarily at all either. But it's funny. I think we were on a space a few weeks ago and they said something bear market. And my response was, oh, is it still a bear market? Doesn't feel like it. And that's because we've had such a crazy play to airdrop, and it was hectic. It felt crazy. It felt like January again. And so it's just really interesting. Like to me, it doesn't even feel like a bear market because we're not really affected by it, if that makes sense. And our community is just so strong and happy to be here that I don't really hear the word bear market very often. And that's a privilege in itself. I will say that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll congratulate you guys on that. Cause I don't think that's how probably 99% of projects or mm-hmm. NFT games feel right now. Because yeah. Most of them, as you look, I think there's only one game as we've done our research reports and reviews that we've seen actual growth here in the last couple months. So the fact that Pixels is able to achieve that is pretty incredible. And I'm curious to pick your guys' brains on that. Do you think that is because of the play to airdrop and play to mint? Is that really bringing in more players because investors just can't come in and buy up the NFTs or buy up the tokens? They actually have to play the game? Or what do you contribute to the success here?
I'll let Luke answer that. But just before he starts, I think, oh my goodness, I'm losing my train of thought here. That's okay. It's definitely a mixture of things, but I think one thing that we've done is just continue to build. We've always been building. We've always, you know, like I was saying at the beginning, there's a lot of loud people in this space that constantly tell us, you're too slow, you're not doing this, you're rugging us, you're lying, but we've just continued to push. We've continued to build and create. And I think I'm really proud of our team for that. And then, yeah, Luke, you can fill in the gaps there with everything else.
Yeah. I mean, we built incredibly quick. And, you know, projects who hadn't been able to build and release, like, yeah, I could see how they're struggling in this market. But we see this as a really good opportunity to keep building with a player base who is not so much about the hype. You know, we launched an NFT in the peak of the bull market. Like, we understand how to navigate hype. And we've always been, you know, kind of actually trying to quiet it down because we knew that that bull market wouldn't last forever. We knew that expectations would get really crazy if we, you know, hyped up before we were ready to actually build and release. So we were really intentional early on too. Like, our NFT holders maybe didn't always love that, but it's paid off for them, I think. And it's paid off for, you know, us as well, you know, making sure that we actually had something that we could grow before we tried to grow, which is, it sounds obvious, but that's not how a lot of the space has, you know, really been approaching their growth and approaching their marketing. A lot of these players in the space have been trying to, you know, push something they don't have yet. But we have a game that we've built, and people are actually really enjoying it too, which is super fun and super reaffirming. The fact that we have players playing the game right now without even turning on the token incentives and all the growth that we're going to be turning on is really affirming. So yeah, for us, the next like couple of months essentially looks like us sitting down, you know, focusing on retention metrics, making sure the game is even more fun. And then we'll do another wave of growth too. But yeah, we have a pretty clear roadmap and idea of what we need to do to, you know, make the project even bigger and move into, you know, the Web2 markets that we're trying to move into. So we see a huge opportunity. You know, that's also motivating to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's huge that you have a playable game out there, because I think a lot of games of what a lot of people got burnt on last year is that they're buying up NFTs and tokens of a game that spent a bunch of money realistically on a game trailer or cinematic trailer and had nothing else built. So now people are wondering, well, you know, it's a year and a half later. Why aren't we seeing any gameplay, or why aren't we seeing things built? And it's like, well, realistically, they really made the effort just to put out the trailer, and there wasn't much else to show for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and what people don't—the trailer thing is so funny to me. Like, you'll see NFT collections; they raise maybe like 1.2 million on a mint, spend 200k on a trailer, and then where's the budget left for making a game? And it's really funny too. You saw all these NFT PFP collections back in October to December last year. I remember, like, literally everybody had build a game on their roadmap. But making a game is so incredibly hard. It is insane how difficult it is. I've built very hard software to make before, but building a game is just another level. And then building a Web3 game is insanely difficult. Like, I just can't emphasize how hard of a challenge it is technically, you know, production-wise, community-wise, even, you know, game studios that have experience, like a lot of game studios won't ship games, making games, because the tech challenges Web3 with the implementation challenges, there's just so much that nobody knows is going to work or not. Even like our Web3 implementations, it's very novel how we're doing our blockchain integration right now. There's so many variables in the space where, yeah, just the risk to even release is really high.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's been really helpful for me to gather insight, because I've never been a game developer. I mean, I've downloaded Unity and pretended I knew what the heck I was doing. But if no one's, I don't know if you guys have ever read the book Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, which is right up your alley. I mean, Pixels is in the title. But they just go through a different game development stories and how difficult it is. And basically, one of the conclusions they come up with after interviewing these teams is that making a game is probably one of the hardest forms of media and entertainment to develop, because you got to think about the story, the lore, the graphics, but then also how many stories of they have these gameplay ideas, and when they actually produce it, they realize, oh, those ideas didn't work. We need to scrap, you know, 90% of our game and start over. And it's just, it's crazy how hard it is to develop a video game. And then, as you said, now try to add in all these Web3 elements to it is just a whole nother ball game.
Well, I think one thing that, you know, I'm on the marketing side, so I don't have my hands very deep in it, but balance, you know, that blows my mind. Every time there's conversations around balance, and, you know, it goes to as small of like, how much should a shrub cost in the store, you know, because that will affect balance. I don't know. You know, yeah. So it's
you're
incredible.
Building out in another world economy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so you have to, there's so many simultaneous problems you have to worry about. You have to worry about community. You have to worry about tech. You have to worry about blockchain integration. You have to worry about game design. You have to worry about systems. You have to worry about economy. You have to worry about macro economy. You have to worry about like single player progression. And then, yeah, imagine doing that with like a team of 10 people. How do you track all that? Who does each thing? It's really crazy. So, you know, props to everybody else building out in this space. We're pulling it off, but we're also losing our minds in a really fun way.
Yeah, I bet. No, and that's one of the things we're passionate here about Balthazar, and that's why we're releasing our SDKs so that we can help games just take care of the blockchain side of things and make it easier for gamers to onboard into games just using easy, you know, Web2 functionality that they're familiar with. Because I think that's one of the hardest things, is taking care of all those blockchain things on top of building out a game. And I'm curious to hear from you guys, as you talked about earlier, you know, wanting to compete with not just, hey, we're one of the leading Web3 games, but start competing with Web2 games themselves, right? How do you guys think about these hurdles of so many gamers and people looking at NFT gaming saying, hey, they're all scams, or we hate NFTs, we don't want Web3. How do you guys respond to that? And how do you guys think you can break into the mainstream
eventually? Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of these criticisms of Web3 gaming are wrong. I mean, look at the current projects that have been out there. We haven't really offered good gaming experiences to anybody. I think some of the games are getting better. Like, you know, a large criticism I had of Axie Infinity was I wasn't convinced anybody was playing it for fun. And I was not convinced anybody was having a fun time playing it for the longest time. But I will say, if you've played Axie recently, your game's getting a lot better. So the space is improving in general. But all these criticisms of rug pulls, of scams, of Ponzi schemes were probably pretty accurate for most of these people. So, you know, it's on us to actually make good experiences for people in Web3. And we have to make experiences that are on parity with Web2 gaming experiences. This game honestly needs to be better than Web2 games in some aspects without any of the Web3 incentivization if we really want to compete and win the trust of Web2 people. But that's where we see the huge opportunity is. And, you know, we know if we make a good game and we have the Web3 incentives, it's going to be very, very hard to compete with us. So that's what we're excited about in terms of the Web3 gaming space. Imagine a game that's just as good as the other Web2 games you play, but it has the Web3 incentivization. Like, why would you ever play the other games? We're not there yet in the space, but we could be there pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm curious, do you guys have Web2 gaming comparisons or competitors that you look at and say, hey, this is kind of what we're aiming for, or we're looking to?
Yeah, 100%. So what's great about Web2 gaming is it's a science now. You hit certain retention numbers and you hit certain K factors, and you know, you have a pretty good idea of the lifetime value of a user. You have a pretty good idea of all of that. Like, the Web2 gaming space is very, very developed in terms of CAC, LTV, all that. I know I'm saying a lot of acronyms, but essentially, you know, what metrics you need to hit in order to have a good game that will have success. So really what we're striving for is the general, you know, industry standards of good metrics in our space and the type of game that we're trying to make. So with day one retention, day seven retention, day 28 retention, and then time spent per game, time spent per session. Like, these are really objective measures in how a game is fun that we can use to see, you know, if our game compares with these other games. And you know, that's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for Web2 industry standards in terms of all these metrics. And yeah, the idea is hit that and then start to market towards Web2.
Great. I love it. And I hope the best for you guys. I'm really excited. I got to jump into this game and try it out more, because you guys are convincing me as I listen. So maybe we'll have to get a tour of the game going together with our community or something like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Heidi, I do want to ask you and pick your brain about the community. You're talking about it earlier, but it definitely seems like you guys have one of the most active and engaged communities, even in the midst of the bear market, even if it doesn't feel like it for you. So I would just love to hear kind of, what are some strategies or tips or things that you feel like is going well for your community that you've found success in?
Yeah, so I think it's funny because I have just kind of been scrappy with it and done what I can. And then I listen to what other people say about things that I've done. And it's really interesting because I think I'm slightly unique in my position because I am a woman in this space. I definitely get a lot of, you know, criticism and unsolicited comments and all of those sorts of things. So I feel like I'm actively trying harder to make sure that it's welcoming for every single person, because I even sometimes feel unwelcome, and that's not okay. And if I can do whatever I can to make sure that one marginalized person doesn't have the same experience that I have had, I will do that. So I think that perspective has helped me a lot. And then from that I feel like I have an incredible support system with the community team. Everyone's on the same page. We all want this so badly, you know, and so we do what we can to kind of create that. And so, you know, we throw out like funny words. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know, queen babysitter or culture creator. Yeah. Culture curator, like all of these things, but it's really like all of us as a team kind of coming together to create this. And, our community does it for us now. It's like, you see someone posting some malicious comment and immediately there's, you know, like five people on them being like, hey, keep it farmer friendly. That's not welcome here. Because I think it's something that people really want in this space too. Like this like moon boy or crypto bro attitude, just like it gets old pretty quickly. And I think people are almost searching for a community where they feel safe and at home. And so it's been a mixture of so many different things. So I don't really know how to answer your question because I feel like it's been such a work in progress because of so many people coming together to create it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Also, guys, really sorry. I have to hop out right now, but
yeah, you're good. No worries. All right. Thanks, Luke, for showing up. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll talk later. Yeah, I mean, appreciate you sharing that, Heidi, and being vulnerable. And thank you for that. I'm saddened, but not shocked, you know, considering that, you know, this space is, you know, not only are video games pretty male dominant still, but the crypto space, as you said, there's, you know, full of that kind of crypto bro mentality. And I don't know if you'd be have some thoughts or would be comfortable sharing, but have you thought about at all, like maybe how this industry or space could improve and how we handle that?
Oh man. You know, it's a tough question to answer and there's no right answer. I think it's just each and every day just listening to other people's perspectives. You know, my perspective on this is, you know, and we don't have to go too deep into this, but like I am a white woman. And so therefore I have a lot of privileges and all of that. And so I always try to listen to marginalized communities to understand their experiences. Right. So it's just like what you do in your day-to-day lives, like implement that online. I think that is missing a lot. I think, you know, people have a mask of anonymity and all of that. And they just think it doesn't matter. There's not a human behind the screen, but there absolutely is. And it comes down to the smallest things. Like I get called sir every single day to the point where it's like a joke in our server. Mm. And at one point we had banned the word S-E-R, but then of course our Spanish community spoke out and said, why can't we say sir?
Oh gosh.
But you know, like we have fun with it and we joke about it, but just always remember there's someone behind the screen, I think is the first step.
Yeah. I appreciate that perspective and that encouragement for us all, because I do think it's hard because it is so anonymous in this crypto space. And one of the things that I've definitely seen, especially now that within this gaming community, there's finances tied to the NFT or token value, that even just the team members of games I see get so much more flack than, you know, a normal Web 2 game would. Because in a Web 2 game, if you don't like it, you say, oh, well, it sucks that you made this choice in this game and I'm just going to go find a different game. But
yeah,
it seems like in the Web 3 community, I mean, I see it taken way too far with attacks or, you know, even death threats at some points when, you know, token dips too far or something like that. And it's just, it's sad to see.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is sad to see. Just a little compassion goes really far.
Yeah. Well, again, appreciate the vulnerability and the encouragement for us. Let's move on to something and finish up with something a little bit more fun though. And I would just kind of love to hear, as Pixels looks at the next couple months, is there any cool announcements or things that we should be looking forward to, things that the community can get excited about?
Well, I can't dive into details too much.
Oh, come on. Leak all the alpha here.
But,
come
on. Well, it's funny because Luke is actually nicknamed Leaky Luke. And then one of our community team members recently called it me hinting Heidi. So I apparently slipped a little bit here and there.
Love it.
But when we launched our chapter 1, which was our big release recently, we kind of switched up how we were going to do it. We originally were planning on releasing everything all at once, and then we decided to slowly release it. So now we've got these pages, right? So we just launched page two. And there are more pages coming. We do have an exciting partnership that's going to be small but mighty and exciting in a couple weeks. And then, yeah, we keep building. And it's funny because, like, I get asked this question a lot too, or you know, like the worst question. I hate this. Even personally, I hate being asked, what's your 5-year plan? Like, I have no idea. Right. We're going to keep going. That's all I can say, you know? Things change so quickly, especially in this space, right? So we just keep building.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any game stick to a roadmap with specific dates on it. It's just impossible to predict.
It is impossible. It is impossible.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Heidi, thank you so much for your time. As we wrap up here today, listeners, I would just appreciate it if you can follow Pixels, and as well, besides Twitter, Heidi's or other places you would recommend them to check out Pixels or jump into the community somewhere?
Yeah. So obviously follow us on Twitter if you'd like. You can hop in our Discord, come hang out with us, and of course, play the game.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Heidi, and hopefully we'll connect again because we'd love to keep interacting with your community. And Balthazar is building out our community now with our private Discord, but we're going to go public soon. So hopefully we can get some more interaction between our communities. It'd be really fun. Just loved hearing about your game, and I'll have to go check out more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Luke, I just want to say you've been so wonderful to work with. So thank you so much for that.
Awesome. Yeah, I loved working with you guys, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Check out Pixels, and we will see you guys later. Everyone, have a great day and take care.
Bye, guys.